today that I wanted to continue on the same subject that I began with last week, which is the greatness of his power. The greatness of his power. And God wants us to have a revelation of that. Amen. You know, we sing the song here sometime that God is great, and he is, and greatly to be praised, because he is great. He is great. But he wants his people to know that he's great, and he wants his people to know that he's on their side. Amen. Because he's promised us. We have a promise in his word that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. So we can boldly say that we are never left and we are never forsaken. If you have any time in your life where you feel alone, just remind yourself that you're not alone. If there's any time in your life where you feel forsaken, remind yourself that you are not forsaken, because he promised us that he would not leave us and he would not forsake us. Now I say that, and I'm going to read from the Word of God here in just a moment, but we're living in a time right now where, I mean, wow. Folks are busy, 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 busy. Everybody is busy, 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 busy. Some folks are busy doing little or nothing. In other words, what I mean by that, what they're doing is not producing a whole lot, but folks are busy. Folks are busy. You know, all you have to do is you look around. You go in a restaurant. What do you go into a restaurant to do? You go in there to eat. Yeah, you go in there to eat. But if you go in a restaurant sometime, just look around. Just look around. And you'll see a lot of, I don't have my cell phone on me, but you'll see a lot of this. Heads are down, but they're not praying. Everybody is busy. They're either texting, receiving a text, or checking out Facebook or something else all the time. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but you know, we have to make sure that we keep everything in its place. Hallelujah. I refuse to leave this earth one day without being productive for God. Glory to God. Amen. And don't go home and say that Pastor said we shouldn't be looking at our cell phones. That's not what I said. I have one too. My wife have one. And we use our cell phones, and they are convenient. Amen. And some of you in the church, you're looking at your cell phones because you have your Bibles open. Can I get an amen on the Bibles open? Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all right while I'm preaching, during the service, to have your cell phones out with, or your tablet out with your Bible app open. It is disrespectful to God and to me and your fellow church member to sit up in here and carry on a conversation with somebody else in another state or some wherever they may be, just carrying on a conversation by texting or whatever, Facebooking or whatever it is. You know, give God his time.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Give God his time. This is God's time. Amen. This is time for the Word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, if I close my Bible and we went home right now, that's good preaching already, isn't it? Don't get excited, though. I'm not. Hallelujah. Lunch will wait a little while longer. But I might better pull my watch off, though. Keep abreast of where we are. Praise the name of the Lord. Turn again in your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Glory to God. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah asked a question in verse 1. Says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Amen. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Glory to God. The arm of the Lord is his power. And of course, everything, let's get something straight right now. Everything flows through Christ Jesus. Everything that comes from God flows through Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
You follow me. Everything flows through him. Glory to God. Amen. Now, I told you last week, you know, I've had people come to me and over the years that I've been ministering, and even before I went into the ministry, I didn't wait to I go in, start pastoring or licensed or ordained in ministry to start ministering. I mean, ever since I've been saved, I've been leading people to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you don't have to be an ordained minister to lead someone to Christ?
Amen.
You don't have to be an ordained minister to pray for someone? Amen. Because you folks sometimes can get into places where we can't. Amen. That's right. You can get in places where we can't. And there's your opportunity to minister and pray for those folks. But I've had people to say, you know, pray for me because I need more power in my life. I want more power. I want more of the power of God. And that is certainly okay. God wants you to have more power in your life. I want to read you something. Before I read it, though, sometimes people have a struggle with believing that God wants to use them, or believing that God can use them, and believing that God will impart to them the power they need for him to use them. But I want to read you a verse from 1 John, the 4th chapter. Matter of fact, it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And listen what it says. It says, now this is the New King James Version. It says, ye are of God, little children. Now, if you're born again, raise your hand. I just like to get people to testify. Now, if you're born again, raise your hand. Praise God. All right. Now, notice it didn't say how long you've been born again. Well, let me say it this way. I didn't ask you how long you've been born again. I just asked if you're born again, and you raised your hand. But now, notice in verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children. Little children. Little children. Little children are known as people that are still maturing. You know, some of them are very young. And so we have folks that's born again now, that's very young in the Lord. They hadn't been saved that long. And they don't know a whole lot about God. But if they are born again, they are of God. Amen? Amen. They are of God. If you saved, you are of God. According to the word of God, you are of God. But now let me finish the verse. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Notice how this is written. Greater is he that is where? Point at yourself. Greater is he that is in you. Now, he's not talking about you. He's talking about he that is in you. There is you, and then there is he that is in you. And he that is in you, then, is greater than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? The devil and all those that are influenced by him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the New Living Translation says it this way. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Now, I have a question for you. Why would God tell us this anyway? Why would he want us to know that the greater one lives on the inside of us if he did not want that knowledge to benefit us? He tells us this to bless us. He tells us this to give us confidence. Even in a dark world like we're living in now, with all everything that's going on right now, you know what? We can still be at peace, because greater is he that is inside of us than he that is in the world. Well, what does he mean by greater is he that's in you? It means that the one that's in you is more powerful than he that is outside of you. Amen. You're still here. The one that's inside of me is greater than he that's outside of me. God is greater. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, guys upstairs, give me Romans chapter 8, verse 11, real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want you to see something. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, but if the spirit of him, and notice him is, spirit is capitalized, him is capitalized. The word spirit is talking about God's spirit. Him is talking about Jesus Christ. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus, well, it's both talking about God. Let me clarify that. The spirit of him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead, do what? Dwells in who? Dwells in you or me. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. Now, I want you to grab a hold of that. Please don't let it slip. Think about that for a moment. This is, folks, this is powerful. This is so powerful. The Word of God tells us, Romans 8:11, that the very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you know it takes power to raise someone from the dead. The very same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in us and will give life to our mortal bodies. Glory to God. That's the reason I can believe God for my healing. Amen. That's the reason I can believe God for my healing. Because his word says, by his stripes, I was healed. Not only that, if I'm still here when Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds, that same power that dwells within me, the Spirit of the living God, is going to raise me up, change me, and I'm going to meet, and you are too, meet the Lord in the air. So whether you're caught away or whether you go by way of the grave, one thing about it, the power of God's going to change you. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Are you still here? Amen. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in our mortal bodies. Glory to God. Now, I told you last week, and I gave you some scriptures, verses, you probably have them. I give them to you right quick. We won't read them, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You can write it down if you don't have it already. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. And there are others too, but those are the ones I chose. And it talks about the fact that God's power is great towards us. Amen. God's power is great towards us. And then we went on, I told you that not only is God's power available to help us, but it's also available to empower us to help others. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you're praying about. God always blesses us to be a blessing to others. Tells us in Peter. Y'all listening to me? I want you to get this. It tells us, listen to me, that we are blessed to be a blessing. Say that. Say, I am blessed
to be a blessing.
Now, see, here's the thing that happens sometimes. We want God's blessings. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. And we give in the offerings, and rightfully so. You may give to someone, rightfully so. But it's not just to bless you. Matter of fact, God tells us if we give, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed if we give. God wants our focus to be on others. He wants our focus to be on others. Amen. You know what? If you're sick in your body, God wants you well. God wants you well. Why does he want you well? He wants you well because he loves you, but he also wants you well so that you can go out and be a blessing to someone else. If God blesses you financially, guess what? He's blessed you financially so that you can go be a blessing. Amen. You weren't just born to live. We weren't just born to live, but we were born to give. Amen. Don't ever forget that. You were born to give. But I'll tell you one thing. If you'll give, you'll never lack. That's a promise from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me move on. How do we get this power to manifest itself? And we talked about this last week, too. But how do we get this power to manifest itself? Number one, you got to know the Word of God. You've got to study the Word of God. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the Word of God. Amen. Look at the person beside you and tell them, you need to study God's Word.
You need to study God's Word.
Look at somebody else on the other side of you. Tell them, say, you need to study God's Word.
You need to study God's Word.
Hallelujah. We've got to study God's Word. And not to get puffed up so we can impress folks by how much we know. God wants us to study His Word, learn His Word, so that we can go to number two, that we can apply His Word. Apply His Word. When we know the Word of God and we apply the Word of God, we open the doors for the power of God to manifest itself. Amen. All righty. Glory to God. So, we must study the Word of God. Next thing is, you've got to believe the Word of God. You've got to believe the Word of God. Amen. We were there last week. I want you to go back there again now. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read the 19th. Well, I'll read 17, 18, 19. Then I want to bring something out to you. It says, well, let me back up to verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, we read this last week, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Remember us reading that? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Who what? Who what?
Believe.
Who believe? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Amen. It takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. Are you with me? Glory to God. So we must have faith in God's word if we want to see the power of God manifest in our lives. Hallelujah. We see an example of this. Well, I'll read this little story. Turn with me to Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. The 9th chapter. And I'll begin reading at verse 14, Mark 9:14. It says, when he came to the disciples, this is Jesus, he saw a great multitude around them, scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, look how Jesus responds now. He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, from childhood. "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." That's what the devil tries to do, isn't it? "But if you can do anything," notice what they said, "but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, these folks had been watching the disciples trying to cast this devil out, but they could not. Now, back in verse 19, Jesus said, "O faithless generation." Okay, so they couldn't cast him out because of their faith or lack thereof. You still with me? Now, sometimes folk get their eyes off of the Word of God and what they know, and they become afraid, and they become frightened. Let me tell you something. How many of you know you're not going to activate your faith if you're scared? If you're more frightened by what you see than what you know, you're not going to get results. And they didn't get results with this guy. So, verse 23, Jesus said to him, listen what he says now, "If you can" what? "If you can believe" what? "All things are possible to him who believes." Now, Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. Yes, this person was possessed with a devil, But Jesus said they couldn't cast it out because of a lack of faith. And where there is a lack of faith, there had to be some fear present. But then Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That is a powerful statement, folks. I hope y'all grab a hold of that. Hallelujah. Let me read on. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, Lord, I believe. But there are some areas in my life, there are some areas in my faith walk, Lord, that I need some help. How many of you know that there are some areas in your faith walk that you need some help? And he cried out to Jesus, help my unbelief. How do you get your unbelief helped? Well, through the word of God and through spending some time with God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But he cried out. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Look at this. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. They won't ask him publicly. Because you know that had to be embarrassing. Why could we not cast it out? I mean, I would be wondering too, wouldn't you? Why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, which is going to lead me into the next phase of this. It won't take long. Let me tell you something. But just hold that thought. Hold that thought. Remember what Jesus said. This kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. Now some translations just say prayer. Comes out by prayer. But fasting is real also. Let me tell you something. If you want the power of God active in your life, you got to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to build your faith through the Word of God and through prayer. You've got to have a prayer life. We've got to have a prayer life. You've got to spend time with God. You hear me? Remember I was talking about earlier how busy people are. Busy, 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 busy. Listen. Take some time and spend with God. Talk to God. Well, Pastor, what about the fasting part? Fasting is scriptural. Fasting is scriptural. Prayer and fasting is good. Amen? Matter of fact, we won't go there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you don't have to go there, but you can write it down. Paul was answering some questions there and ministering to the married couples and so forth. And again, you read you read verse 5, and it's talking about marriage stuff, but he mentions fasting in that chapter. So my point is, should we fast? Yes. Yes. Fasting is scriptural. The problem is, many times it's been abused. Some folks fast to be seen, to be able to look spiritual. Well, you know, I fasted 40 days. Well, you know, that's not supposed to impress us. If you fast in 40 days, that was supposed to have been for you. You understand what I'm saying? When you fast, just give me about 5 more minutes. I'm gonna let you folks go. Turn to Luke, the 4th chapter, Gospel of Luke, 4th chapter. Verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, well, let me finish reading. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they were ended, he was hungry. After those days when he was hungry. Now, notice that he was led into the wilderness. Now, sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you to fast. Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you to fast, but you don't have to wait on the leading to fast. You can just make a decision on your own that I am going to fast. Why fast? Is it to impress people? No. We fast to help us. We fast to help us. How long, Pastor, should I fast? That's between you and God. Amen. Just because someone say I fasted 20 days don't mean you supposed to fast 20 days. But you know, all of us should live a fasted life. Amen. And there have been times here at the church where we will fast collectively as a church. We may fast today. Maybe there's something that we praying about, and we may fast today, and some of you been in on that when we have fasted. I'm not going to ask anybody to fast 40 days. Well, you know, Jesus fasted 40 days. That doesn't mean we are supposed to fast 40 days. But we are supposed to fast. Why? When we fast, we are saying, I'm going to turn my plate down, and I'm going to spend that time with God. I'm going to sacrifice my food to get closer to God or to hear from God concerning a certain matter. Sometimes in the times of trouble, many times folk will fast to hear from God. You understand something? Fasting don't change God. God don't need change. He's already perfect. Fasting changed us. You still here? When I fast, I fast to change me. I fast to get closer to God. I fast to hear from God for me. Not to impress anybody, not to try to con God into something. I fast to change me, and I put myself, listen, I place myself in a position where I can hear God better. All right? Now, here's another thing. You know, you don't want to go to extremes. So some people do. This is something between you and God and maybe your doctor. But you know, if some folks, if you own certain medications, you might want to know how that's going to affect your body. You're still here? Which means, doesn't mean you don't fast, but you may have to fast a shorter time. Amen. You're still here? Glory to God. Now here's, when I was young Christian, I would hear, I hear people say, well, when you fast, you don't eat any food and you don't drink any water. And of course, I fasted without food, and I fasted without water. But I want you to notice something here in verse 2 of Luke chapter 4. It says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days, he what? Read it. He what? He ate nothing. He ate nothing. And then it goes on to say, afterwards, when they had ended, he was what? Hungry. Notice what it does not mention. It does not say he didn't drink anything. And it does not say he was thirsty. You know your body can go longer without food than it can water. Amen. It says he fasted 40 days. Afterwards, he was hungry. It didn't say he was hungry and thirsty. It says he was hungry. And some folks might say, well, preacher, Moses fasted without eating or drinking anything. Moses' situation, we won't go into all that, but was different, totally different. And maybe we will at some point in time, but we don't have time today. But here's, let me bring all this to a conclusion. If you want the power of God operating in your life in a greater way, give time for the Word of God. Build your faith. Make time for God. Make time for God. Make time for God. And I'm talking about prayer time, fellowship time. Make time for God. And let me add this in while we're on the subject. Pray in the Spirit. often, other tongues. Pray often, often. Are you listening to me? And fast, if God leads you to fast, you fast. Or if you choose to fast, you fast. But remember what fasting is all about. It's just not doing without food. You're replacing the food with time with God. Amen. Is this clear to you folks? Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Don't get religious and get off out there and say, well, I'm going to fast these number of days because, you know, no. If God leads you to do it, that's one thing. But just don't get crazy and don't go to extremes because you can actually hurt yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope this blessed you, folks. I'm going to tell you something. The power of God has to be activated when you've spent time with God, when you spent time in the Word of God. Your faith is strong. Your faith has grown. And when you meet or encounter anything, you are ready for it. You are ready for it. If you encounter the sick, you are ready to pray for them under the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise God. I tell you what, I'm just sensing the power of God in this place right now. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, everyone. Stand to your feet. I just want. There are some of you that I've been speaking to, and you know who you are, because I have a plan for you, and there are certain areas that I want to use you in, but you have not given me the opportunity to empower you for the work I've called you to. So I say to you, come aside with me. Come aside with me. Let us commune together. There are things that I want to impart to you. And then I want to hear your heart. I want you to speak your heart to me. And we will go forth together. You will be empowered by my spirit because you will know your God. Come aside with me, my child. I've been speaking to you. I've been tugging on your heartstrings because I have more for you. Don't hold back. Don't draw back. But surrender to me, and your life shall be greatly blessed. You will be greatly rewarded. But even greater than that, others will be touched by me, by my spirit, because of your obedience. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise, will you? Hallelujah. Just let him know right now, Lord, I surrender to your will for my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.